In this episode, entitled Off Balance in Two Ways, Paul Kim and Sib Subanda dive deeper into the interplay between God's sovereignty and man's responsibility, and why it matters in our approach to business. They discuss the tension that exists and the fallacy of emphasizing the one at the expense of the other.
Welcome to Reframed. Join us as we explore the concept of redemptive business in our unique contexts on the African continent.
Hello and welcome to episode 19 of the Monday Christian Podcast, the second in our mini-series on God's sovereignty and man's responsibility. In the previous episode, we discussed some foundational ideas about this doctrine and why it matters to our approach to business. And we're looking to carry on along those lines, giving further thought to business application. So Paul, we ended the last episode by stressing the importance of embracing the fact that God is sovereign and man is responsible. Now, if you remove God from the equation, you're basically left in a world where your destiny is entirely in your hands, which sounds empowering, but is that really true of any of us? And is it as empowering as it sounds?
Let's tackle the question in those two parts. Is it firstly true of any of us? And then is it empowering? Mm-hmm. Is it what we really want? So is it really true first? It is a very Western idea that we as individuals are in charge of our destiny. The American dream is a perfect example. And this is from Investopedia. The American dream is the belief that anyone, regardless of where they were born or what class they were born into, can attain their own version of success in a society in which upward mobility is possible for everyone. The American dream is believed to be achieved through sacrifice, risk-taking, and hard work rather than by chance. Now, there is merit to this idea, and this half-truth does find grounding in God's word. God gave us agency in his world in Genesis 1. We were to be stewards to explore the untold mysteries of his creation and to co-create new value that would underpin ever-increasing orders of flourishing for all of humanity. And think about it. If a belief in agency and hard work did not exist, no one would believe the world could change and that they could play a hand in it. The world would never have progressed from just the natural state that God originally gave us. And even the Bible, read without the lens of God's sovereignty, appears to validate this. So if we go to Proverbs 14 verses 23, for example, all hard work brings a profit, but mere talk leads only to poverty. And so from a purely 2D view of life, the American dream appears to be true. And dare I say, true to scripture. With respect to business, the message is quite simply this: work hard, work smart, and your business will succeed.
It sounds like a pretty good advice for entrepreneurs.
Yeah, it's up to you. As long as you're willing to put in the effort, yeah, you're going to make it work. However, it's not quite that simple, because the reality is that more often than not, it's the privileges we enjoy as we grow up that set us up for success. Circumstances which we have absolutely no input into or control over. So let's consider these four factors, and you'll see that the idea of being fully responsible for our own success is deeply flawed. Firstly, your parents. Can you take credit for your parents and how they raised you? What if they valued reading and they prioritized being able to spend time reading books to you? What if they were passionate about sport and were willing to sacrifice weekends to take you to sporting activities where you were able to build relationships with other children and their parents? In the examples above, how much credit can you take for your parents' decisions and effort? Secondly, your geography. Does it matter whether you were born in America or Southeast Asia? How about in Cape Town? Does it matter if you were born in Bishop's Court or in Mitchell's Plain? And can you take responsibility for that? Thirdly, and perhaps intimately linked to geography, especially in a country like ours, does it matter which side of the wealth gap you grew up in? In a country like South Africa, where the Gini coefficient, which is a measure of inequality, is so high, inequality is a material factor to success. And fourthly, the time in history. If you're a YouTuber, what would you have done if you were born in the 80s? If you found your passion in software development, what exactly would you be doing if you were born in the 3rd century? And there's so many other things to consider.
So obviously what you're saying is the situations and circumstances that have led me to where I am in my life right now, there's a lot of those for which I was not responsible and cannot take credit for. However, going forward, is it fair to say that I am now responsible for the decisions I make. I am responsible for whether I make it or not through hard work or being lazy, through being diligent, etc.
And the answer is, of course, yes. Mm-hmm. But it's yes and, right? And this is the whole point of this conversation, is to say, how are you going to strip out the impact of your parents on your future decisions? You just can't.
Correct.
So yes, there's a training effect from your parents, but you're also responsible for making the right decisions.
Yeah. Yeah.
The more interesting topic now is then to go and ask whether we want it to be true. And it's an interesting one, because I'm going to use a topic like prayer to probe at whether we want this to be true. Do you genuinely believe that, given how little you actually know about the world, that you would want to take on full responsibility for every aspect of your life? So Keller often uses the illustration of your prayer life. Consider the things that you've prayed for when you were younger. What would have happened to you if God said yes to every one of those prayers? What would have happened if God said yes to your first girlfriend, right? You would never have met your current
wife. No comment. Absolutely no comment.
So I don't know about you, but I think I'd be in a terrible place right now if a lot of those prayers were answered yes. And take it from an even simpler angle. Looking back, how bad was your decision-making in your teens, your 20s, your 30s? And how stupid do you think your decision-making will appear to be when you look back on your current life in 10 years' time? From a business perspective, there have been many opportunities I've prayed for with respect to new hires, clients, ideas, etc., that I'm actually so glad didn't actually happen. Mm. And I've got an example from this year. So one of our portfolio companies lost its second largest client earlier this year, and we did everything we could think of to win them back. There was a final review day, I think it was in February, that we had to prepare for in order to get a go, no-go decision. In preparation for the day, the list of things, so we worked through them. We ticked off each one of the items we knew we had to get right, so we were quite confident going into the meeting. But in that meeting, things just fell apart. Some of it wasn't our fault, but there were some things that we had fixed, but for some reason just weren't working on that day. And so as a result of that meeting, the client gave us notice of termination and we lost the contract. As a young startup where traction is proof of validation, it's soul destroying to lose your second biggest client. It's something you have to answer for with regard to your investors. Anyway, fast forward 6 months, and I can confidently say that if that client had stayed on and we had continued to try and make it work, we would have lost them and our biggest client by a far margin. We would not have been able to focus on what was most important for the company in our desperation to keep all our clients. So if my prayer to retain that client was positively responded to, we wouldn't be in big trouble right now. And to close off, Tim Keller has this beautiful quote, "What fool, knowing how little we know, would want to live in a universe where your future is completely and totally fixed by your choices?" Mm.
In my experience, this truth of God's sovereignty has helped maintain my sanity sometimes, right? Because there's certain things in life that happen you wish would never have happened, or you wish wouldn't happen. And even in the business example, so I run an IT company, and through no fault of our own, something happened with the supplier of the software that we sell. And as a result of that, we lost a 3-year contract, right? And so that's fresh. And I'm reeling from that loss. It was a major customer and so on. And I'm not yet at that stage of being able to look back on it and say, oh, I can see how God has worked this out, right? It's still raw. Mm. I'm still in the pain of that. I'm still sort of saying, God, I just wish that hadn't happened. I wish we'd been able to keep that client. But being where I am now, and having firstly knowing the truth of God's sovereignty, and secondly, having seen it before, how God has come through, I can confidently put that to bed, right? And not sort of wake up with just sort of depressed and thinking, oh, now what's going to happen? Knowing that one day I will look back and say, wow, although it wasn't the best thing at the time, I thank God that it opened these doors and et cetera, et cetera. And so it gives us confidence that even in situations that don't seem ideal, particularly in our business dealings, that God is in control. And as long as we remain faithful and keep being, faithful with our end of being not just responsible in terms of practical business things, but also in remaining in faith and in prayer and doing what he commands us to do, that he will work things out for our good.
Amen. And just to go back to Keller, he says, which kind of dovetails quite nicely to what you said, God's answer to our prayers is the response to the prayer we should have prayed if we knew everything that was going on.
Love it. Okay, so let's talk about some telltale signs. Maybe we've got some listeners here who are wondering, am I leaning too much on one side or the other? So let's talk about some telltale signs that a believer is leaning too far on. Let's start with the man's responsibility side of the equation in running of their business.
Sure. I think you can lean quite heavily towards man's responsibility in two different ways. Mm-hmm. So you are on the man's responsibility side, too heavy, but sometimes you can be succeeding in that space or you could be failing quite hard.
Yes.
So if you're on the end of man's responsibility, but you're struggling to make it work, you're going to see anxiety, you're going to see worry, you're going to see people being burnt out, never being able to switch off, taking things into their own hands, such as paying bribes because it's up to them to achieve the outcome that they believe needs to happen. And so that's what happens when they're struggling to keep up with this pressure of man's responsibility. If they're succeeding for the short term, what you'll see typically is a narcissism, a pride that comes out, looking down on others. So it often happens with the poor. They're not working hard enough and that's why they're poor. What's it saying? God helps those
who help themselves.
Yeah. And that's horrific. A little to no prayer life, because why would you pray if everything was up to you? Mm. But both are falling into the trap of thinking that it's all up to them to make the best of their lives.
It's an interesting one. You know, you talk about paying bribes and obviously our context is Africa, right? And for those who are doing business in Africa, it almost feels like that's just the order of the day. That's just part of your overheads, right? Paying bribes. Just help us to maybe think through that just because of our context. So I'm doing business in Zim. And a lot of what's happening then in the business world is, and just in life in general, never mind business, you know, like trying to get your passport or your driver's license or whatever. It just feels like, well, these are some things that you just have to do. And it almost becomes acceptable, right? And are you saying, well, hey guys, even in the African context, trust God enough to not take matters into your own hands and to remain faithful. And even if you lose contracts, even if you lose deals, continue to trust him that in his sovereignty, he will make things work out for you. Because this is where the rubber hits the road.
Sure, that's a difficult one. And I think we're going to reflect back on this episode and see how we had a huge drop off of listeners. but let me give it a stab.
Yeah.
I want to say, I think, three things. Firstly, I'm not in the situation, so I'm talking theoretical right at this point in time. We talked about perspective in the first mini theme, and the second one was situational. Second part of the perspective discussion was situational, and I will be upfront to say I don't really have situational depth here. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to speak to the normative.
Okay.
I think the normative states that we shouldn't bribe, full stop. And I think that's something that we should push into. And at no point in time, there's a second thing I want to say is, does this mean that there isn't going to be a fallout? Mm. There's going to be damage at times when we try to be obedient to God.
Yep.
And when we try and preempt the damage, I think that creates secondary consequences that are not honoring to God. As much as possible, we need to obey God first and deal with the consequences second. And the third thing I want to say is, well, if the Christians aren't going to use their eternal hope in the new creation and the belief that all things are going to come right, then who the heck is going to stand up against this bribery at some point?
Yep.
And maybe the first generation of African leaders, business leaders now, their businesses never succeeded, but they changed the way bribery got done or they eliminated or reduced it for the second generation of African believers in business. And so unless we have this long-term mindset of saying, you know, what is the big thing that we need to tackle in this generation for the next generation not have to struggle with, then bribery is going to be there for until Jesus comes back.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Good. Well, I don't want to sort of go down a bunny trail with that, but I guess just to put it back in context of what you were actually saying is that when I find myself paying bribes, maybe it's an indication that I'm leaning too far on the man's responsibility side. I need to make this happen and God's not in the equation. Mm. But thanks for that. So let's move on then and flip the script a bit and consider the implications of minimizing man's responsibility in the business context. So now we're leaning too far on, say, the God will get it done for me.
So if we move to the opposite extreme, we sit with the opposite set of symptoms and some major issues as a result. So firstly, why do anything at all? Mm-hmm. If things are going to turn out the way they are supposed to, then why is it necessary for us to do anything? Are we just robots controlled by some central command system? How can we be held accountable for anything? We weren't involved in anything. If there was someone or something that is basically forcing us to do their will, then why should we be judged for actions that are clearly not ours?
Yeah.
If everything is 100% fated and we lived out this belief faithfully, then the world would collapse in on itself because everyone wouldn't get out of bed.
Yeah.
There would be no reason to.
Yep.
Now, I don't think I've ever come across a business owner or entrepreneur who leans entirely in this direction. When you're at the coalface of building a business, I think it becomes very clear pretty quickly that things don't just happen.
Yeah.
However, there are moments or situations where it creeps in. So my first startup in education, we wanted to save the education system in South Africa.
Yeah.
I expected God to honor my intentions with great results, and I destroyed the business with my idealism. I forgot that I lived in a real and broken world that required great effort and ingenuity to co-create with God. Motivation and intent is a necessary but insufficient requirement for a great business. And to be honest, in reality, no one lives this way either. And a quote from Stephen Hawking perfectly captured this. I have noticed that even those who assert that everything is predestined and that we can change nothing about it, still look both ways before they cross the street.
Good point. Let me just tease something out here on minimizing man's responsibility, because you've just said you don't know entrepreneurs who lean entirely in this direction, and nor do I, but I'll just give you an example. So I remember many years ago, I was preaching in a church in Johannesburg. It was on the first story of a building. As soon as I was done, I was making my way down, realized there was another church service, which as it turns out was just winding up. So I thought, well, let me just pop in and see what's going on there. And I got in just in time for the bit at the end where the preacher is telling the congregation to pull out their credit cards. And I didn't have mine, which is a pity, because maybe, you know, my life would have been different. But he was telling them to wave their credit cards in the air and sort of make declarations and all of that sort of thing. Now, in that instance, okay, you could say, well, man's responsibility was to wave the credit card. But don't you think actually that fits into, hey, I'm leaning too much on God's sovereign, so all I need to do is wave this card and repeat what the preacher's saying, and God's just going to make it happen.
At the surface, I think it looks like that. But you remember, what's the trigger for God's sovereignty? If God's sovereignty is serving at the behest of man's responsibility, it's still man's responsibility. So what's actually happened there is, it's still that person waving the credit card is still fully leaning into man's responsibility. But what he got wrong was what trigger or what aspect of man's responsibility leads to better outcomes. So instead of saying working hard,
yes,
saving money properly, budgeting, all of those things, he said, I should wave my credit card and therefore I'll become wealthier, healthier, or whatever that was being preached in the morning. But it's still leaving heavily into the man's responsibility. If you truly lent into God's sovereignty, there would be no waving of a credit card. Because you wouldn't need to trigger it. God knew that you needed it, so he was just going to drop it in your lap. You don't need to do that.
In that situation, I'm believing that waving this credit card is my responsibility and God's going to do the rest.
That's a genie in the lamp situation.
Yeah, I still think that fits squarely into leaning too much into the sort of God's sovereignty camp. And we might agree to disagree on that one.
Great.
But let's move on. Hopefully it'll inspire some good conversation amongst our leaders. So let's land this plane. So we've obviously need a solid biblical balance of God's sovereignty and man's responsibility in our business dealings. But what does that actually look like in the real world, Paul?
So yes, just a small example of how I practically apply this. So when developing a plan, I use my full capacity to develop it. It requires ingenuity, deliberate action, coordination, collaboration, seeking of counsel, and so on and so forth. And I do this because I believe I am responsible for the resources God has given me, and I'm responsible and accountable for the opportunities God places in front of me to pursue it in his name. So Colossians 3:23, 24, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ serving. Point two, a critical part of these plans are baseline biblical norms and considerations. This is my way of making room in my plans for God's sovereignty by assuming his ways are right and need to be followed.
Yep.
So for example, I do not need to hear directly from God to make sure I plan to be fair to all various stakeholders. Mm. I mean, that is just in God's word full stop. If I go against these baseline considerations, looking after all my stakeholders, I know that it may appear to be beneficial for me in the short term, but there is always a cost to disobeying God's word. So for example, if I take advantage of my employees to boost my profits, my financial performance improves. And the sad thing is a lot of people use the outcome to defend their actions. Yeah. But God doesn't work that way. Just because you got a certain outcome doesn't mean he condones the specific action. Success as a result of short-term self-centeredness does not mean that God condones my decision. He has given me agency and gives me the room to wield it. And sometimes that unfortunately results in terrible consequences.
Yeah.
Employees get mistreated. And later on, what unfortunately will happen is employees don't want to be there anymore. And then the business falls in on itself. So in the long term, treating employees poorly hurts the business.
Yeah.
Thirdly, when executing a plan, I need to leave margin for being obedient to God. So do I plan my day so that I can have proper conversations with people? Or all of it, 1 minute check-in to see if someone's doing the right thing and then moving on? Or do I spend 15 minutes to really understand how the person is doing in my business? Do I put the right restrictions in my life so that my work is not all-consuming?
Mm.
So taking a Sabbath is a great practical activity to acknowledge that God is sovereign. And we'll talk about this in a future episode. Am I pursuing financial objectives that allow me to honor all my stakeholders? Or am I robbing Peter to pay Paul? Lastly, if God is sovereign, we have to leave room for God and we need to be flexible. Another way I do this is by giving myself lots of time to make a decision. Like if I want to buy a car, I don't spend all my time looking at all the nice cars and then think, I need to make a decision now. I'm obviously going to choose the wrong car. But if I prayerfully consider it over a year, speak to everyone around me, really consider what my needs are, and then make a decision, I've given God room to speak into my life through everyone around me. Some will say yes, some will say no, someone would say, well, have you thought about this? And so on and so forth. And at the end of that process, I come to a much wiser decision. In terms of the outcome, because you've now planned these things, right? And
yep.
Then you execute and there's a specific outcome. So either it goes according to plan or it doesn't go according to plan. And these are the things that I do when it goes according to plan. I try to review what happened to be intentional about seeing the moves that God has made. We covered some of this with the story of how the podcast came to be. And this humbles me and reminds me that I'm participating in God's story. If I don't do that, then I'm just building up hubris in my head that, I'm the one, my plan achieved this. Now, the more tricky part is when things don't go well, right? So when things don't go according to plan, I more regularly ask myself what God is trying to tell me through this outcome. I also go through a review of my actions to understand if I've done something differently or wrong. So sometimes I did do something wrong. Sometimes I was ignorant. Sometimes there was nothing I did, and it may be that God just wants me to learn how to suffer injustice in an unfair world, just like Jesus did. And sometimes God is dealing with my idolatry. And we're going to speak about Joseph in the next episode. But God had to take out that arrogance that was in Joseph's heart. And he did it in a very specific way. These days, I'm less disappointed for a shorter period of time. And this belief that God is sovereign has helped me to hear God more clearly through this disappointment. Now, immediately, some listeners will think, well, just trudge through the disappointment. And I'm not saying that. Without taking away the pain of the moment, I try to remind myself that whatever is happening for my good. And to combat this whitewashing of trials and tribulations, I need to remind myself that I will only grow to be more like Jesus if I embrace and walk through the valley of pain and anguish, not just superficially speed through it.
I like that. So when things don't go according to plan, Paul, what you must consider is ask yourself, have you actually waived the credit card? But anyway, on a serious note, right? In terms of man's responsibility, I think we've talked about dualism before. So spiritual things that we do and then things that are not so spiritual. And so one might be tempted to think about the spiritual responsibilities are praying for my business. And then the practical ones are, you know, doing my planning. But actually we debunked that. And that for the believer, all things are spiritual. And so we mustn't have this thing that, well, have I done the spiritual parts? But also consider the fact that planning well, doing your research, market research, all of these sort of things, doing realistic cash flow projections and so on, all of that is spiritual because it's done as unto the Lord. Isn't that right?
Amen. Yeah, and we'll touch more on that in the next mini theme in Common Grace.
Okay, final thoughts before we wrap things up here, Paul.
At a very high level, it boils down to who is at the center. And to be biblically correct, what God is doing should be the centerpiece of our plans. We wrap ourselves around God and not the other way around. Jesus is the center of the story, and by him being the center, we find our rightful place in God's story and God's plans.
Beautiful. Thanks, Paul. Let's pick things up in our third and final episode of this mini-series.
Thank you, Sips.
Thank you for joining us. This episode of Reframed was brought to you by Ziwani, a community of business leaders who partner together to live out their kingdom calling in the marketplace within Africa. Ziwani is a Mergon initiative. To know more about us, visit our website at ziwani.com. That's ZIWANI.com.